Rav Nosson Zal begins Halacha Aleph, Al Pima Shikosafti Leel, Behilchas Netilas Yadayim, Ubitzias Apas, Halacha Aleph. What we're going to speak about here is related to what we spoke about previously in these places, Sheho Achila Hubachinas Hamshochas Hadas Kanal, that when we eat, one of the things we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to draw Das upon ourselves. V'chein kosav Rabbeinu b'maymar v'yihiyeh marikim sakeim, simen yud zayin. And so too Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 17 in Likutim Ram, that achila is through achila, shalitei achila, nishlam hadas. That through eating, a person completes their das. We've mentioned in the past specifically regarding a person's, the beginning of our eating in the day, where the Shulchan Aruch says that after a person finishes davening, before we go to the Beis Medrash, we should eat Pas Shachris. And the most important reasons that are given for that are this Das. The fact that bread, the word Lechem, is bigimatria three times Yud Kei Vav Kei, corresponding to the three parts of the brain, Chochma, Bina, and Das. That by eating this bread, I'm hoping it's going to nourish my brain and it's going to open my brain to the wisdom of the Torah. The term chita, which is grain, the term chita is bigimatria 22. It's brought corresponding to the 22 letters of the Torah. That by, again, by eating the bread, I'm hoping that it's going to open my mind to be able to receive the knowledge, the light of the letters of the Torah. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis once asked his friend a question, and he said to him, I can't answer you now, come back tomorrow. And the next day, he said, now I can give you the answer because I've already eaten bisra datura. I ate beef, and now my mind is clearer, I'm able to give you the answer. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this throughout Likutei Moran in all kinds of different ways, how the food that we eat, if a person's eating properly and the right kind of food, it improves the das of the person. And if a person eats improperly, the vapors that are generated by the food that the person eats cloud the person's mind. Ayin Shom, look in those sources where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'al kein tzorich litoil mayim ho'achroinim achar hachila. This will also explain why the Torah tells us, Mayim Achroinim Choiva, that's the wording in the Gemara, that there's a chiv to wash one's hands after we finish eating. Kedei loseis chelik lahasit rachra, kayadua. And it's brought that this Mayim Achroinim, these waters that we wash our hands with after eating, are some type of a gift to the sit rachra. We're giving them their peace, so that they should be satisfied. If we give them a finger, then they won't want to take the whole hand. There are many areas in Yiddishkeit where the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us this concept that we must give a little bit to the Sitra Achra. Because if we don't, they'll try to take the whole thing. This is the secret behind the small hairs that come out of the Tefillin Shel Rosh. These little hairs, you'll take a look at those that wear Tefillin or the women that watch their husbands wearing Tefillin. It's brought that those hears are also, that tefillin represents such a high level of moichen and seichel and das, we must include something for the sitra achra, giving the sitra achra their peace. And this is a major concept throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, that for now, Hashem wants the sitra achra to exist. And in order for them to exist, they draw their chias from the Kedusha. Our mission is to do whatever is required, whatever is necessary to see to it, that they only draw the minimum that they need to keep them alive, not more. Not that they draw more energy which they can use against us to overpower the Kedusha. Ki ikar yinikosam humishon. Because the main yanika, the main place from which the sitra achra draws power and nourishment is from there. What's there? Mibechinas mizbeach. From the mizbeach, shehu shulchanoi shel adam. which today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have an actual Mizbeach. The Gemara says today, Shulchanoi Sheloda Mechaper Kamizbeach. Our table is like the Mizbeach. Our table where we eat today, if a person's eating properly, the table is like what the Mizbeach was. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in chapter 17 in Likut Imran quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that again, the Klipois, the Sitrachra, they're able to draw from the Mizbeach, from the Pegam HaMizbeach. Ayin Shom, look over there. Ubehechrich loseis lohem yenika v'chius betzimtzum. And we must allow and give them, give the Klipois, the Sitrachra, nourishment and life, but in a constricted way, minimally, kedei shelo yizgabru beyoser, so that they shouldn't get, overpower us. V'yichas v'shom kilkul adas legamri, and they will damage the das completely. If we give them a little bit, then that can satisfy them, and they won't try to take the whole thing, chas v'shom. We know there's a rule, people say, a well-known thing, give a Russia a finger, he'll take the hand. But in this case, in the case of dealing with Klipois and the Sitrachra, the Torah shows us that there are times when it comes to specific mitzvahs, this is not something that a person can decide on their own. The great tzaddikim have shown us which places in the Torah where there is this concept of throwing a bone to the Sitrachra. And this is also the concept of mayim achroinim. Nimtza shemayim achroinim hu kiyum hadas. So based on this, if mayim achroinim represents this piece of the puzzle, this concept of giving the sitrachra what they need so that they won't try to grab the whole thing, then mayim achroinim is playing an important role in kiyum hadas, in ensuring that our das will remain. Kiyim lav, because if we won't do it, yizgabru chas v'shom, the sitrachra will get stronger and they'll grab the whole thing. And we know, remember again, Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal mentioned many times that the whole concept of a Jew committing sins in general is referred to as lack of das. The famous Gemara in the beginning of Sotah, where the Gemara says, Ein odom choyte elam keinichnas boi ruach shtus, that when a person sins, it implies that there's a ruach shtus, a silliness, foolishness that has taken over their mind and causing them to sin. Whereas das is the opposite of that. And this will explain why our rabbis place both of these together. Washing hands before bread and mayim achroinim. Ukroum, and they refer to them as mayim rishonim ve'achroinim, first waters and last waters, beginning waters and ending waters. Ki shnehem letzoyrech inyan echod, because they're not two completely separate different things, they're both related to the same thing. Ki mayim rishonim kedei letaher hayodayim lahamshich hadas misham kanam. When we wash our hands before eating bread, that's to purify our hands to enable us to be able to receive das. V'achar ho'achila, and after we finish eating, shekvar nimshach hadas, where we believe we already received a flow of das, boim mayim achroinim, kidei losei slohem chelkom. That's when the mayim achroinim comes in order to give the sitrachra their peace, kedei lekayim hadas, in order that the das, our das that we received, should remain solid and permanent. V'zeh shom rabbi seinu zal, and this is why the Gemara says, where do we learn out? From where in the written Torah do we learn this law of washing hands before eating and after eating? The pasuk says, v'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem kedoshim. You will sanctify yourselves, and you will be holy, you'll be sanctified. So the Gemara says, V'hiskadishtem elu mayim rishonim. The first word there, you will sanctify yourself, that refers to the beginning waters, the waters at the start of a meal. V'hiyisem kedoshim, and you will be holy. Elu mayim achroinim. This refers to those waters at the end of the meal. Kishnehem bechinas kedusha, because both of them represent this concept of holiness. Ki ikar kedusha hu hadas, because one of the main forms of holiness is das, knowledge of Torah, seichel dikdusha. We know the Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol was the symbol of holiness in Klal Yisrael. Kohanim in general, we know the whole Jewish nation is referred to as holy. V'atem tihiyu li mamleches koyanim v'goy kodosh. Hashem says to the entire Jewish people, I want you to be to me a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. So that's Klal Yisrael. Within Klal Yisrael, we have the Kohanim, who have an extra level of holiness, where there are certain things that a regular Jew is permitted, a non-Kohen is permitted, a Kohen isn't. A Kohen cannot go into a cemetery or attend a funeral. An ordinary Jew, a non-Kohen may. A Kohen eats truma. A Kohen can enter certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash where a non-Kohen cannot. So Kohen is the concept of Kedusha. And the Pasuk says, Yikorahi Mipninim, that the Torah, knowledge of Torah, is more precious, not just than a Kohen, but than the Kohen Gadol, who went Pninim, Lifnai Velifnim, the specific Kohen who entered the inner sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. The Talmud Chacham is greater than him. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham has Das, and Das is super Kedusha. V'ato meduktok heitev limud raboisenu zal b'mikra. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we're learning here now, it's perfect, it fits perfectly how our rabbis deduced from this pasuk we just quoted. Ki v'hiskadishtem, because the word v'hiskadishtem, you will become holy, you will become sanctified, huloshoin hiskatshus mechodosh, seems to imply a new holiness that we're going to take on. Shetzorech lirois lehiskadesh, a Jew has to see to it to become holy. From that word, our rabbis learned this concept of washing your hands before eating. Because through those first waters, a Jew sanctifies himself. By drawing das from there. Now, in Sifrei Kabbalah, it's brought that the word mayim represents das. In fact, in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus, it always speaks about Meimei Hadas, the waters of Das. When we speak about the future, it says, Kimolo Ha'oretz Deo Es Hashem, Kamayim Layam Mechasim. The world will be filled with knowledge and recognition of an awareness of Hashem, like the water that covers the ocean floor. So we see Das is compared to water. In addition, we know that the word mayim, the letter yud, represents chokhmah in Sifrei Kabbalah. The yud of yud kevavke, in Hashem's name yud kevavke, the beginning yud, represents chokhmah. The letter hey afterwards is bina, and the vav is the six spheroids of zerampin, and the hey is malchus. So yud is chokhmah. Mem is bina. The letter Mem represents Bina. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ben Arboim Labina. When a person is 40 years old, they achieve Bina. So in the word Mayim, you have the Yud in the middle, which is Chachma. Also, we find Rashi says in Chumash, by Oz Yoshir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Rashi says there, it should have said Oz Shor Moshe. Then Moshe Rabbeinu sang. It doesn't say that. It says, Oz Yoshir, then Moshe Rabbeinu will sing. So Rashi says there, Yud al Shem HaMachshava Nemra. The Yud represents Machshava, a thought for the future. So Yud represents Chochmah. You have the Yud in the middle, and the two Mems on the outside represent Bina. So the word Mayim represents Chochmah, the combination of Chochmah and Bina, which is Das. That's what it is. So Rav Nosson Zal says, those first waters through this we're sanctifying ourselves by drawing das from there. Avol vihi yisem kedoshim, but those following words in the pasuk where it says, and you will be holy, you will become holy, vihi yisem loshen hoive vikiyum. The word vihi yisem implies present tense and permanence, established. Something will be established. Ve'yihi ve'hiyisem. You will be. Hainu shetzorech lirois sheyihye v'yiskayem kiddushosoy. A Jew has to take on holiness, take on das, and then you have to see to it, to retain it, to hold on to it. That kiddusha, v'lo yizbatel chas v'shom, that kiddusha shouldn't disappear or dissipate. From those second words, v'hiyisem kedoshim, our rabbis learned about mayim achroinim. Kal yedei mayim achroinim niskayim hadas. Because mayim achroinim is what ensures that the person will be able to hold on to that das. V'alkein mayim achroinim noitlin b'chol minei mashkim. The law is that when a person wants to wash mayim achroinim after a meal, if there's no water available, if there's tea on the table, or if there's soda, a person can wash their hands from mayim achroinim with other liquids. It's preferred to use water if water is available, but if not, you may use other liquids. Ki mayim rishonim shebo letzorech hamshochas hadas. Because the first waters, when we wash before eating, where then the water represents that we're trying to take on, to draw upon ourselves, das. V'alkein tzorech shom lahagbi ayodov. That's also why after a person washes their hands for bread, before you dry them, you're supposed to lift your hands up. Some people say the pasuk, su'u yedeichem kodesh, uvorchu es Hashem. Again, we're trying to draw that kiddusha, that bracha. Kidei lahamshich kiddusha, to draw that holiness on ourselves. Alkein tzrichin mayim dafka. That's why for those first waters, you may only use water. Ki mayim hu b'chinas das kanal. Because water is das, as we showed several different ways. Alkein tzrichin, exactly. Vehem bechinas mayim kedoshim, and those first waters are holy waters. Aval achroinim, but the water with which we wash our hands after eating, she'enom boim rak lahavir hazuama, where the reason for washing hands after eating, one reason is to remove the tuma, to remove the uncleanliness, to clean our fingers before birkas hamazon. And to remove the tumah, veloseh slohem chelkom, and to give the sitrachra, the klipois, their portion, to throw a bone to them. Alkein ein tzorech lemayim. That's why it doesn't have to be water. Ki ein tzorech ato lahamshich hadas. Because at this point, after we finished eating, we're not trying to draw das upon ourselves at this point, but rather, rak lahavir hazuma, but rather to remove the tumah, v'litein lohem chelkom, by giving them their part. Like people sitting down to a meal, and then there's an animal, a dog or a cat nearby, and they want to get rid of the dog or the cat. What do? They throw them a bone, they throw them something for them to eat, so that they'll go away and be busy with their bone and thing, and they'll leave us alone. U'machmazeh tzorech lahashpil yodov. And this is why when it comes to mayim rishonim, after you wash your hands, you're supposed to be careful not to lower your hands. You're supposed to lift up your hands when you're making the bracha, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoyse v'tzivonu al netilas yodayim. And again, some people add that pasuk, se'u yedeichem kodesh uvorchu es Hashem. And then you dry your hands. When it comes to mayim achroinim, a person washes the fingers. You don't keep your fingers up. You keep them in a lowered position after you pour the water on them. Gam ein mevorchem aleim. And in addition, we don't make a bracha al netilas yadayim when we wash the mayim achronim. Kamuva, as is brought in the halacha. While we're on this topic, I just want to make a short comment. If you learn the halachas of mayim achronim, you'll see that according to the majority of opinions, you must wash your fingers up to your knuckles. There are many people that think that mayim achronim is just a droplets, a little bit of droplets. And someone mentioned to me that they quoted a sefer, I remember, that said this, specifically not to use a lot. But the halacha states very clearly that when washing mayim achronim, a person should wash the fingers. They should spill water over the fingers until the knuckles. Some stores sell these mayim achronim cups that have like an eighth of an ounce. It's not really what's best. A person for mayim achronim should use, it's not nothing like washing your hands before eating, but it's using water in order to cleanse the fingers of both hands. We mentioned that for mayim rishonim, we're trying to draw kedusha upon ourselves. So we're looking upwards. In a sense, we're raising our hands upwards. We're holding our fingers upwards. That's for mayim rishonim. Mayim achronim, we're not drawing das. We already received the das. We're giving the klipos, the sitrachra, their portion. That's why the fingers are in a downward position, not in an upward position. Any questions, please?
Good morning, Rabbi.
Sure, good morning.
So we just read in the paragraph that it says, Ki al yedei mayim achronim nitkayem hadat.
Exactly.
It's with the mayim achronim, that final touch, that I'm able to draw upon.
No. Not draw. That's not the right word. Lahamshich means to draw. Niskayem means that the das will remain. To retain it.
Complete.
To retain it. Retain it. The word niskayim here means, kiyu means that it should remain firmly established. It shouldn't disappear. It shouldn't float away.
Correct. Yeah. My question still remains. It's that how is it by me doing the final piece of the puzzle of having extra da'at or having the final piece that allows me to have the da'at remain, allow the sitra acha to have something. The sitra acha is, we're trying to give something to it by doing my machonim, yet I'm really elevating myself spiritually by doing this action.
In the Kriya Shema that we say every day, it says there, v'nosati eis, Hashem will give us sustenance. And it says there, "V'nasati esev besodcha livhemtecha v'yochalta v'savota." Hashem says, "I'll provide vegetation for your animals in the field, and you will eat and be satisfied." And we learn a halacha from there that before a person sits down to eat, he must make sure that the animals were fed. Here also it's a similar concept. And we gave the mashal of people eating at a table. We know that it's not recommended in religious Judaism to have pets, to have animals in the house. But we know that those people who have pets, whether it's a dog or a cat, when a person sits down to eat, the dog shows up. He wants to eat also. He wants a napkin and he wants the appetizer and the main course and he wants the dessert also. And we will not be able to have a normal good meal with him looking to share it with us. So in order for us to have a normal good meal, we must give him his portion. If we give him what he needs, we give him his bone, his this, whatever he's used to eating, his animal food, he's taken care of, and we can have an orderly, we can finish our meal in peace, that kind of thing. Rav Nosson Zal is giving it to us in Ruchnius. That in Ruchnius, when you want to draw das upon yourself, a person wants to draw das, so he's going to learn 24 hours a day. I mean, there's nothing more important than learning Torah. and I don't have to, I don't want to eat, I don't want to sleep, I want to draw das. Person does that, they're going to die. If there are a few days of not eating and not sleeping, they're going to die. The person must give something to, you have to sleep, you have to eat. The person has to relieve themselves. These are all examples of giving the other side what it needs, giving a certain minimum, a required minimum to the other side in order that the side of Kedusha should be able to succeed.
I do understand the concept. It's very clear. Thank you very much. Yet my question still kind of remains, meaning, how is it by me doing an act of adding water on my fingertips, okay, which is actually a mitzvah, giving them the sitra acha, a bone, so to speak? Is there something in the water on my fingers that...
Rav Nosson Zal mentioned the word, that the first waters... are to draw holiness upon ourselves. Those waters at the end are to clean off the dirt from our hands, the zuama, the spiritual dirt, and even physical. A person's been eating, their fingers touch food and everything, the fingers could be sticky or that kind of thing. We're washing mayim achronim to remove the zuama. And that's this concept of removing the klipos, removing, pushing them aside. So they're not involved where they don't belong, making sure that they're not within the arena of Kedusha when we don't want them there. We're getting rid of them, putting them aside.
Wait a minute, one more thing.
Any other questions, please?
Yes, a couple of points. Number one, even though we're not encouraged to have pets, many people have fish in fish tanks. And seemingly the halacha is that a person is supposed to make sure his fish are fed before he eats. That's one thing. And in former times also, people were farmers, they had farm animals.
Sure.
And so those are important things. A second point, and that is, I've seen in the Qumrana, the Shulchan Torah from the Qumrana, talks very strongly against those people who wash mayim achronim under the table. They pour the mayim, wash the fingers under the table, and the water goes on the floor. Kamara holds against that very, very strongly. And he knew these matters extremely well. Do you have any knowledge of this? Do you have any idea? This seems to stem with the idea that the mayim achronim is going to the sitra achra, and we don't want it to stay around. We want it to get dumped out and down the drain.
Exactly. Though the waters of mayim achronim are considered to be tamei waters in a sense, and therefore we want to try to get rid of it, for sure. That's why you don't spill it out on grass, on anything where things are supposed to grow or anything like that. Because those waters are being designated for the other side. And again, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the sitra achra receives some, just like when you water a plant. That's what gives the plant nourishment. That's what gives it the ability to grow. And when a person receives das, the more das, when a person eats properly, that enables the body to grow. So too, by giving these little waters to the sitra achra, this sustains them. This gives them the ability to continue to exist.
Good morning, Rabbi. Can I just clarify, based on the question that was asked previously, when you do the mayim achronim and you remove the zuhuma, is that zuhuma going to the sitra achra? Is that what you're giving them? What are you giving
them? No, you're giving them those waters. You're giving them these waters. Removing the zuhuma means removing the sitra achra. It means pushing them aside. Pushing them aside.
You're giving them the kedusha of the... Mayim achronim, you're giving something that's mitahir, but you're giving that little bit of tahara to the sitra achra?
Exactly. You give them chius. I'd rather use the word chius, life.
You give them chius. By life. Doing an act of mitahir.
Exactly. By doing an act of cleaning off the dirt, removing the dirt from your hands, the any residue from the eating.
Maybe it's a silly question, but how do they gain from that?
For that, we would need more more knowledge in the Sifrei Kabbalah that might go into it into more detail. But again, I gave a simple example. How does a plant get, when I put water on a plant, that's going to make it grow? The answer is yes, most definitely. Or when I put food into my body, that makes me grow? This vegetable, this cucumber, eating a cucumber makes, or drinking milk, you know, the answer is yes, most definitely yes.
That's great. That was the answer I was looking for. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Now,
one more question.
Yes.
It's a little bit from the beginning of this year. Uh-huh. You said that, you know, how from the person from the Knesset has to go to eat and afterwards to go to Beit Medrash.
Yes.
But Lamaitza, I heard Rav Nosson. You know, Rav Nosson, you know, like when, before he starts, it's all different procedures. So right away after he davened, he learned Shulchan Aruch, said Tehillim. You know, like, so there's some part of learning right after davening. So can you, like, explain how much and what? What's the minhag?
Sure, it's
to learn after davening, not to learn what to do.
Nothing. Both are very, very good. No question about it. There are some people who, based on circumstances, can put it this way. First of all, if a person can learn, whatever learning a person can do after davening in Shacharis in the morning, it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. In terms of having breakfast, that kind of thing, a meal, it's known, I'm saying most people will do that at home or somewhere else. So there it's mentioned, and again, for those people who are going to be learning full-time or having a major learning seder, there the Shulchan Aruch recommends that a person should have pas shachris, you know, before, it's mentioned in halacha, between, in that context, after you finish davening, before going to the Beis Medrash, do this. But if a person's circumstances are such that, number one, they want to attach some Torah to their tefillah, which is very important, or if they're not going to learn then, they're not going to have the opportunity to do it when they get home or when they continue their day, then it's definitely okay, 100% okay, to learn after davening. And again, just knowing this, having this knowledge, being aware that there is such a thing, that there is lechem that gives nourishment, that helps the brain, when it's eaten properly, bigdusha, or the grains, bichlal, that it gives nourishment to the brain and kedusha. And again, I want to follow the path of the Torah. So when I can follow that seder, I do. When I can't, it's not something that if you don't do it, you're breaking a halacha. It's a recommended style of living, a way of when a person can do it. But I know my rebbe's, Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, for example, you know, he would stay in shul. There was years that after Shacharis, he had a seder of learning Mishnayis in shul. And he would learn in shul and then go home and have his pas Shacharis. You know, so it doesn't have to be in that order.
Sure. Thank you, Reb Nosson. Sure. And one more thing which I wanted to add. You said about Saoros, which comes out from the tefillin. So really what Zohar says, Sa'ara Achas, you know, only one hair string. But the reason why people don't do one, because they're afraid it's going to rip. And, you know, then there's a question on the Sefer, on Batimacha, who made it, because it's put a question that he's not keeping Torah Shabbat. So that's why usually they put out more Sarot. But really, it's a Sa'ara Achas. So, like, in a sense,
a minimum.
That's what it says. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, minimum.
It's a privilege. Correct. It's a privilege to have a Sefer on board, so we get the extra added information, Baruch Hashem. Beautiful. Okay, so now Rav Nosson Zal says, v'tekef achar shenotal yodov, and immediately after the person washed mayim achroinim, v'zocho lekayim shleimus hadas, which means I did what I needed, to establish the completion of the das, that my das is complete and it's locked in, that I'm going to hold on to it, O zeichin lebirchas hamazon. Then we're zeichin to say. the Birchas Hamazon. Kalide Shlemus Hadas Niskashrim Lahatzadik Kimavur Bamaimar Vaihi Hemoret Merikmanal. Because as Rabbi Nazal explains in chapter 17 in Likutim Ran, when a person achieves Shlemus Hadas, when a person completes their das to a certain level, through this we're zeichet to become attached to the tzaddik. Ukeshenisgashrin lahatzaddik, mishom nemshochim kol habrochos. And when a person attaches themselves to the tzaddik, it's from the tzaddik that we receive all of our brochos. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, ubrochos leroish tzaddik, that the brochos are by the head of the tzaddik. Kayodua, as is known. We know that there's a famous pasuk in the beginning of Lech Lecha where Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Va'avorechecha, I will bless you. And then it says, Ki mevorechecha mevoira v'umekalelcha or, those who bless you will be blessed and those who curse you will be cursed. Rashi over there quotes the Gemara which says that Hashem said to Avram Avinu, up until this point, the brachas were by me. From here on in, I'm giving the brachas over to you. The power to bless is being given over to you. So again, Rashi HaKadosh points out in Chumash there clearly that Hashem has given the brachas over to the tzaddik. V'zeh b'chinas birchas hamozoin. And this is the concept of our benching, the brachas of birchas hamozoin that was saying. Shezoichin lahamshich brachas al yidei hatzaddik. We're privileged to draw upon ourselves blessings through the tzaddik, alidei sheniskasher neilov, alidei hoachilo shu shleimus hadas. By attaching ourselves to the tzaddik, by eating properly, which is shleimus hadas, all the different steps of eating from beginning till the end. V'ze b'chinas, and this is why the Gemara says, balabayis boitzeya, the oireach mavorech, that when a meal is being had in a home, the master of the house is the one who makes the hamoitzi. The guest, if there's a guest present, he's the one who leads the zimun. He's the one who leads the birkas hamozoin. Oireach mavorech. And Rabbein Azal says in Likutei Moran, chapter 209, Rabbein Azal says the term oireach there is alluding to oirach tzadikim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, v'oirach tzadikim ke'oir noiga, the path of tzadikim. So the word oireach means guest, and the word oirach means the path of the tzadik. Ke'oir, kama shekosov Rabbeinu, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 209 in Likutei Moran. V'alkein, and therefore, tekef l'netilas yadayim, brocha. The halacha says, immediately, after you wash my machrayim, start the birkas hamozoin. Ki tzorech li zoher ma'oid, sheloi loseis lohem yeniko yoyser midai. We want to be careful, extremely careful, not to give the sitrachra more nourishment than we should be giving them. Al kein, takef achar natilas yodayim mayim achroinim. That's why immediately after we wash those mayim achroinim, shenoisnin lohem koyach v'yenika, whereby we are empowering them, we're giving them a little bit of nourishment, tzorech levroyach takef mehem. We have to disengage from them immediately, to run away from them, ulevarech, and to enter into the realm of blessing. Kedei lekasher atzmoi latzadik, so that I'm attaching myself to the tzadik, v'loi lahafsik klal bentayim, and not to interrupt, not to speak between when I wash the mayim achroinim and when I start the birkas hamozoin. Kedei shelo yizgabru besoich kachas v'sholom. Because again, if I wait, any unnecessary waiting or pausing between when I wash my machroinim and I start the birkas hamozoin, I'm in this in-between state. I've given the sitrachra some power and I haven't reconnected to the bracha. I haven't attached myself to the tzaddik. Any questions, please?
Back to the earlier point about feeding animals. There are many stories about tzaddikim who would make sure to feed the cats in their neighborhood, even though they may not have been required to. It's all that Shlomo Kavila, especially during World War II, would leave milk out for the cats, saying that he had to bring chesed into the world. Other stories, Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan Spector, once before he was having an operation, he told his mishamish, go make sure that the cats are, you put milk out for the cats. I can't do it here. You do it. So there is a very big inyan of that.
Possible. Very possible. Yeah. We know that the Ovois HaKadoshim and Dovra Melech were shepherds. And it's written clearly in the Torah that one of the things that prepared them to lead Hashem's flocks was the way they tended the sheep that they had, the special care and love and concern that they showed when they were taking care of the sheep. Regarding this halacha, tekef l'netila bracha, I believe that it's regarding this that there was an incident with Reb Chaim Vitalzal, the closest student of the Arizal, that he once came to the Arizal and he complained that his shoulder was hurting him. For a period of time, he had tremendous pain in his shoulder. And the Arizal said to him that you're not keeping this halacha properly of tekef l'netila bracha, of making sure immediately after washing mayim achronim to start the birkas hamazon. And the word tekef means immediate. The word tekef is the same letters as the word kosef, the shoulder. And that's why it's affecting your shoulder in this way. You'll perform this halacha properly, yet the problem will be resolved. Now, Rav Nosson Zal continues, V'alkein, birkas hamozoi nemra b'chol loshoin. This will also explain why the halacha says that a person is allowed to say birkas hamozoin in a different language. If that person doesn't understand Hebrew at all, or the person cannot read Hebrew, they can say it in another language. Because once we already washed the water before we ate the meal, and we ate the meal, we had the bread and we had the meal, and we were zoche to a certain level of shleimus hadas, v'nis batel yenikas kol haklipos, and we also took care of the issue of the nourishment to the klipos, v'chol ha'emunos kuzvios, and thereby we eliminated their ability to harm us, to damage us, these klipos, these emunos kuzvios, these false beliefs, she'yinikosam mipigam ha'mizbeach, which draw their energy when there's any type of defect in the mizbeach, when there's any type of defect in a person's eating, in a person's table. Kikvar zocho l'shleimus ha'mizbeach al yidei mayim rishonim v'achroinim v'achila bekashrus. Because the person has already achieved the perfection of the mizbeach by the first waters and the last waters and the eating properly. Umach mazeh tzrichin l'hachil le'oni me'al shulchanoi. And this is also why it's so important to include a poor person in your eating, when you're eating. To provide food for the poor people also, either to have them as guests on your table or to make sure that you're giving them to eat also when you're eating. Ki af shemitzvas tzedakah gedoyla me'od, u'tzrich leizor tamid b'tzedakah, because although everyone knows that the mitzvah of tzedakah is very important and a person has to always make sure to give tzedakah, to give charity, im kol zeh, beyoser tzrichen leizor b'shas achila lekayim oz mitzvah tzedakah. One of the most significant times that a person has to include the mitzvah of tzedakah is when we're eating, kedei sheyiu nasen geirim al yedei zeh, as Rabbein Azal explains in chapter 17 in Likutei Moharan, that this leads when the mizbeach is b'shleimus. Rabbein Azal shows that results in Geirim coming and joining Klal Yisrael. V'yiyeh nishlam b'chinas ha'mizbeach, kemo shekosov shom. And the mizbeach will be completed. Whatever tikkun needs to be done in the mizbeach will be completed. As Rabbein Azal shows there, just a moment. Torah Yud Zayin. Yes, in paragraph Dalid, in Torah Yud Zayin, Rabbeinu Zal says there that in order to be mashlim the pegam hamizbeach, it's through converts. Because again, he says there that all avodah zarah, idols and klipos and sitra achra, draw their power from pegam hamizbeach, when there's ever any defect or deficiency, something lacking in the mizbeach. As it says, there's a pasuk in Malachi which says, "Bechol mokoim muktar umugosh l'shmi." In all houses of worship of the goyim, idols, things like that, wherever they're offering their services, their sacrifices, or their prayers, Hashem says it's all really coming to me. They don't know it, but indirectly, because their idols and everything are nothing. So really, it's all going to me. So Rabbeinu Zal says that even though they are oivdei avodah zarah, their whole koyach is really coming from pegam hamizbeach. And that's why Hashem says, it's really me. They don't know that the whole power of all of their houses of worship and anything is all really for me. It's all from the holy spark of the mizbeach that has fallen into their hands improperly. And when converts come and join Klal Yisrael, which means that these non-Jews reject their false faiths, the faiths that they had previously, and they come and join and accept Emunas Yisrael, the Jewish faith, through this we're machnia the avodah zarah that comes from pegam chelkei mizbeach, and then these holy sparks are restored to their proper place, and the mizbeach is completed. I just gave it to you briefly what Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran. This will explain why we're allowed to recite Birchas Hamazon in any language. Because by eating properly and doing that Mayim Achroinim afterwards, we've already eliminated any dangerous drawing of holiness by the 70 languages, by the 70 nations. V'chazru kulam el hakedusha. We've returned whatever sparks of kedusha had fallen into their hands. We've seen to it that it's being restored to the kedusha. V'nishlam hadas, and the das it reaches a certain level of completion. U'me'achar shekvar nizgayru. V'chazru kulam el hakedusha. So therefore, once all of those people who were supposed to convert converted, and they returned to the kedusha. Now we can recite the blessing, the Birchas Hamazon, in any language, ki kulam kedoshim, because they're all holy. We've made a tikkun for all of them, ki yotzo hatoiv shebohem, because the good that was inside these 70 nations, these other languages, has been removed from them. V'chozer al hakedusha, it's been restored and returned to the kedusha. V'hora nizbatel memela. And when that happens, the ra, the actual bad, is automatically eliminated. Ayin shom, look over there in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal goes into this more. 2 points I'd like to make. Remember, this is halacha aleph. And I mentioned that halacha aleph, throughout Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal wrote when he was first starting out his career. Many cases he wrote this when Rabbi Nachman was still alive. And because of that, usually his wording is shorter, more clipped, and requires a little more research in the Likutei Moran sometimes to clarify what he really means to say, that kind of thing. In the later halachos, we see a change in style, where Rav Nosson Zal is usually more broader, much more explains more clearly many times. Any questions, please?
Yes, Rabbi. How did he go on prolonging the halachot, Rabbi Nathan? Meaning, he would review and add every year, or how did it go about?
He would learn through the Shulchan Aruch. He would learn through Shulchan Aruch, from beginning to end. And as he was learning through Shulchan Aruch, thoughts that would come to him, any ideas that would come to him, of applying the Likutei Moran and the Sipurei Maisis and the Sefer Amidos, or everything he learned from Rabbi Nezal, to be able to understand the pnimius of the halachas, to be able to understand the spirituality in these halachas, that's what he wrote down. So in what he made one pass, he made there's altogether in certain places there's halacha tes, which means 9 passes of the Shulchan Aruch. And as he was writing, filling in additional things, additional halachas. In one of the newest editions of Likutei Halachas that was published recently, they have a whole major piece in front, maybe 100 pages, going into research, where they did research on Rav Nosson Zal's life. The ones who published this new edition are actually descendants of Rav Nosson Zal's father-in-law, who was very opposed to Hasidus in a big way, the Auerbach family. And some of their descendants took upon themselves this mission to publish the Oiz V'Hodor version of Likutei Halachas, and they're doing an incredible job. And in the first edition, they have about 100 pages where they researched exactly historically how the Likutei Halachas was developed, at which points he wrote certain things, etc.
Shalom, Rabbi Maimon. I thought it was interesting that Likutei Halachas doesn't mention the Inyan by Yitzchak. Yitzchak, when he ate, and then he was able to give a bracha to Yaakov.
Sure.
It sounded like
that he said, first bring me food. He said to Esau,
right,
go out and bring me food so that I can bless you.
Right, Daika.
Yes, definitely.
And the Mesil Sharma, Ramchal talks about that as an Indian of a carbon of Kedusha. That's also a tikkun of the Mizbeach. When a tzaddik eats, it's like a carbon.
Exactly, exactly.
And also, I'm just curious why he doesn't mention also about the Kriya Chag of Sukkah is also the Indian of there, that the dafka by the Mizbeach, it's of all the avoidas, that's the tikkun for the Shivim,
The answer is, you have to let us get to the next page. Throughout Likutei Halachas, Rav Nosson Zal speaks a lot about all of those things, about the 70 cows that are brought, 70 oxen that are brought on Sukkos in descending order towards the Shivim Umois. We're going to have a tremendous amount of information on these topics that you mentioned.
Rav Nosson Zal mentions doing tzedakah during the meal, understand sponsoring suddas of a name, etc. Is there any, how do we fulfill that piece during a meal?
He means related to a meal. You said it sort of in your words. One of the significant ways that many people do this is that when they have any special suda, they're making a bar mitzvah, they're making a wedding, they're making a bris, using that as an opportunity that in order to elevate my wedding meal, my sudas mitzvah, I'm going to try to donate a suda for aniyim at the same time, that kind of thing. I've heard of this kind of thing, wealthy people or people of means, that when they're getting ready, when they're making a wedding, they try to research either orphans or poor people who are making a wedding, and I want to pay for their wedding as a means of ensuring the hatzlacha, the bracha and hatzlacha of the wedding that I'm making for my children, that type of thing. So that's an example of this. Yontif, especially on Yomim Tovim, it's a major chiyuv to try to make sure to have guests at your table, and again, to try to make sure, if not, to make sure that in whatever way I can, I'm sponsoring somebody else's Yontif meal, Shabbos meal, that type of thing.
Has anyone tried to come up with an index to Likutei Halachas?
Yes.
Going according to the Sifim of the Shulchan Aruch, so that person who wants to learn Shulchan Aruch can go from any particular Sif in Shulchan Aruch to what Rav Nosson says about that particular Sif.
That type of index I don't know of. There are, Baruch Hashem, a tremendous amount of indexes by topics one of the giants in Breslov of the previous generation, Reb Nosson Tzvi Koenig, Zechon Avracha, put together a set of Sfarim called Neufes Tzufim, which is four or five volumes by topic, listing topics and showing you all the places in Likutei Halachos where this topic is discussed. Then he has another sefer going by holidays and months of the year, showing every place in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal speaks about Pesach, and broken down to getting rid of the chametz, eating matzah, specific aspects and details of each holiday, and showing you the sources in Likutei Halachos for it. But in terms of a sif by sif item, I haven't seen it yet.
Just one other point, the point that I keep bringing up, apart from Gerim, there have also been a Noach. And Lechora, they, even though they don't have the full status of Gerim, obviously, but they're still Mekablon, in a way they're Mekablon themselves, Old Torah, the Torah that's Shayach to them. And there are quite a few of them in the world, and a growing number, as I understand it. I'm wondering if Rebbeinu talks about them anywhere, and how this fits into his scheme.
I'd have to research it. I don't remember offhand. I would guess that it definitely is included somewhere, because Rav Nosson Zal says that Rebbeinu Zal included everything. It's a shame. We should find it. Want to wish
I've been approached by Goyim, different places, once on a train, different places like that, who saw that I was from a Yid, and were obviously very sympathetic to Torah, but they didn't know anything about B'nai Noach, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and I told them, Google it and you'll learn a lot. And they were obviously very, very receptive. Mm-hmm. So it's something to keep in mind.
Sure. Anyone else before we close?
What does it mean again when Reb Nachman and you know, Reb Nosson always talk about Gerim? What is that? A quick refresher. And also then Reb Nachman always talks about from the Filas Amunah, and then you restore the Amunah, then you get Gerim, and those Gerim are bad. He makes a lot of talk about Gerim.
It's a major piece of authentic Judaism. People that don't speak about Gerim or don't learn about it are leaving out a major piece of Yiddishkeit. We know that some of the greatest giants, Moshiach ben David, we're talking about Moshiach Tzidkenu, Moshiach comes from Rus Hamoyavia, Rabbi Akiva ben Gerim, Rabbi Meir from Gerim. Yis Kabbalah Satoira, our Kabbalah Satoira, takes place in Parshas Yisroi. And the Zohar HaKadosh says it's credited to Yisroi. When Yisroi came and said, I accept Hashem, that's when Hashem made the announcement in Shemayim, we're ready to go down to earth. So it's a major piece of Torah, of Yiddishkeit. And that's why it's included in these Sfarim. And places that don't talk about that or leave that out, and supposedly, they're leaving out a piece of Yiddishkeit.
I'm saying, what is your definition of what it means when Reb Nosson talks about Gerim and Reb Nachman?
I don't understand the question. The definition of a Ger is a convert, a non-Jew that comes to join Klal Yisrael. There's a lot, the Gemara speaks about it at length. There's a chapter in Shulchan Aruch, I think more than one chapter, Hilchas Gerim, defining exactly how we approach this correctly from beginning to end, the whole process and procedure.
But he's saying we're restoring the nitzaitzes of Kedusha.
Exactly.
Correct.
For that, we'll have to look, if possibly tomorrow, in tomorrow's shir, I may go into it a little bit more from chapter 17 in Likutei Moran. That's where Rabbeinu Zal presents that concept, that as we succeed in bringing about Shleimus of the Mizbeach, which means, in our case, Tikkun Ho'achila, that brings about Gerim. And when Gerim come and join Klal Yisrael, that plays an important role in bringing a Shleimus to the Mizbeach.
I've seen Likutei Moran talk about that when you have Nefilas Emunah and then you restore it, it brings bad Gerim.
It brings...
bad gerim,
it's not bad gerim. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Gemara. There's a Gemara that says koshim gerim li Yisrael kasapachas. There's a Gemara. The Gemara speaks about that, that there are certain positive elements to it, and there are certain negative elements. The Gemara says, Rabbeinu Zal shows it brings gaiva to Klal Yisrael, and again he expounds on it. There are chapters of Likud Imran that deal with this. It's not for now. It's not at this time.
Okay.
Sure.
May I point out the story that I told on Rabbi Eliyahu Chaim Rosen's Yortz site about the dress that I attended a few months later about a boy who was named after him, possibly the first one who was named after him, and who was born on the bed on which he was nifter, and the dress was performed on the bed he was nifter. Lechora, there's a big significance to that, that he was okay to have a Ben Gerim born on his bed and named after him so soon after he was nifter. I think there must be some significance to that.
Sounds right. Want to wish everybody a wonderful day and a good week. Looking forward to the next year, Mitzvah Shem.
All the best, Kul Tov.
Thank you, Hashem.
All the best.
Thank you so much. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, everybody. Thank you.